this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
This morning, I would like you to turn in your Bibles with me, because I want to just add on to what the Lord has been doing in worship, and what He has been doing just through the words that came out. And, you know, when we flew up to London, we flew via Dubai. It was a wonderful flight. It was a long flight. But we had a 7-hour layover at Dubai. And so I learned the waiting game. I learned to wait. There's nothing much else that you can do. You're stuck on the airport, and so you're sitting, you're trying to make yourself as comfortable as you can on those hard chairs. And just being there, the Lord started to speak to me just about the waiting process. And I don't know how many of you are a little bit like me. We'd love to just get to the destination. You know, if I can just get there, especially coming back, I must admit, you know, I was away for 3 weekends. And I think for the first time, I experienced literally what it means to be homesick. You know, it's not just a state of being. It's like it gets to you. So I was like, oh, man, I just want to get home now. And, you know, then the flight felt especially long coming back. You know, just like, I can't believe I must still be in this plane for 10, 15, 19 hours. But coming home and just arriving home and arriving at the airport and having the kids and having the family there to greet me made it all worthwhile. You know, the joy, the reunification, and just coming home again to a loving family, it's incredible. And I realize just how often our lives reflect the journey a little bit. You know, we all have something that we're looking forward to as believers. Hopefully this morning, as you're sitting here, you have a hope in your heart. You have something that you are looking forward to. The thing that got me through those last few days in just being away from the family was the fact that I'm coming home. You know, and that was pulling my heart back home. It was stirring hope in my heart. It was filling me with energy and with fuel to continue just seeing through the last few days, because I had a hope. And God has called us as believers to be people of hope. As we're praying this morning for Eric, we're not doing it out of desperation. We're not doing it out of a sense of defeatism, but we are doing it as a people of hope. We're doing it as a people of faith, because we have seen God do mighty things. We have seen God do awesome things. And even as we pray for Europe, we're not praying out of desperation. We're not praying in the sense of, oh, God, He has to come and do something now, and He has to conjure up something. He's already busy moving. He's already busy doing something incredible. But God has called us as believers constantly to be in this process where we are being challenged to move from one place to the next, to move from one place of obedience to the next, to move from one emotional space to the next, to leave behind certain things and to embrace certain new things. And often I thought about this, what gives us the ability to enjoy the journey? You know, not just to bear it and not just to hang in there, but actually to be able to get the most out of the journey itself and not just to wish the journey to be over. And I want to read a verse for you that just came to my heart, because as I was thinking about waiting, there's this verse that Isaiah speaks about, and it says that those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. And I think all of us know that. And so we know that there's a waiting process involved in following the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we come together on a morning like this, a lot of this entails just waiting on God. And there's something about the human heart that gets uncomfortable with waiting. You know, in London, everything is fast. Everything is efficient. All the South Africans that we meet over there, they keep on telling us how quickly everything works there and how incredible everything is there. And the internet is so fast and everything is on time and it's not like back home. And then, of course, you stand there in the underground and a train is late and you realize, okay, it happens everywhere. You know? There are things that also sometimes don't work there. They work a little bit more there than they work here. But, you know, there are delays everywhere. But what was amazing was this one train was late for about 4 minutes. And this train driver, yes, this train driver, he was apologizing all the time. He was just so sorry that they're late and this is what happened. And I thought, wow, we're truly in a first world nation. But even there are delays in. And people then get agitated, you know, start pushing you from the back, and you're like, well, just, I need to mind the gap here, but I'm afraid somebody's going to push me into the gap, because everyone needs to be somewhere. And we've grown used, as a culture, we've grown used to getting everything yesterday. You know, the whole advertising world is making a lot of money out of our impatience. Why wait when you can get it today on credit? You know, why wait to spoil yourself? Why wait to give yourself the treat that you so rightfully deserve if you want to just buy it or take it or grab it? Why work through the relational challenge if you can just walk away and get a new whatever? But Christianity has built into it this fundamental discipline and challenge of waiting on God, waiting on Him. And coming together like this, it demands of us very often to wait together. What is God saying? What is God saying to me? What is God saying to us as a group? What is He wanting to reveal to us? And when I read this new scripture, not the new scripture, it's been in scripture all along, but it was new for me because I didn't see this before. I knew there's a place where we have to wait on God to renew our strength. You know, and then often people say, but it's not so much us waiting on God, it's God waiting on us. He's waiting on us to get our act together, so to speak. But here's this verse I'm going to read for you. And it comes out of, go to the next slide, Isaiah 30 verse 18. And just some context, verse 18 says, therefore, the Lord will wait. Now, whenever you see a therefore, of course, you need to know that there's a wherefore for the therefore. Right? So, the therefore of that verse was actually, God is coming, and through the prophet Isaiah, He's speaking to His people, right? And He's speaking to them a word that I don't want to hear. And He says to them, you are a bunch of stiff-necked people. He calls them stiff-necked people. So in other words, I want to guide you. I want to lead you in a specific direction, but you've hardened your necks. You don't want to go where I want to lead. You're stiff-necked. You're rebellious. You are doing your own thing. And I'm like, whoa, you know, that's the part that I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear that. And sometimes when God comes into our lives and he gives us a hard word like that, you know what we do? We switch off, right? We run away. It's like, oh, that word is way too intense for me to hear. The beauty about God is, however, that when He speaks to us and when He challenges us, it's not just challenging us and He's not just saying to us that we need to change and we need to be different, but He's wanting to lead us somewhere else. He's wanting to take us to a different place. And he's saying to His people, you are stiff-necked, you are rebellious, you are proud, you're doing your own thing, but I've got a different place for you. I don't want you to be in the place of being stiff-necked. I don't want you to be at the place where you just want to do your own thing. I'm wanting you to be at a different place. And this different place is actually being spoken about here in verse 18, where He says, therefore, after God has spoken to them about their sin, after He has spoken to them about the dangers of the independence, of trying to live their lives all by themselves, He says to them, therefore the Lord will wait that He may be gracious to you. And therefore He will be exalted that He may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice, and blessed are all those who wait for Him. And so here I saw that there's truth in both aspects. That God is waiting on us and we have to wait on Him. That the two go hand in hand with one another. But what is amazing here is that the Bible says God is waiting on us, but it's not waiting on us to give us a kick up our backside. I don't know how often you've thought about that. God waiting for us and He's impatient and He's standing there with a stick and just, oh man, come on. Come right now. Get your act sorted out. You know, like we often do with one another. Why aren't you delivered yet? You know, why can't you be more Christ-like? Why can't you just have this thing sorted out yet? And the Bible here says that God is waiting on us, but He's waiting on us for a specific reason. He says, the Lord will wait that He may be gracious to you. So God is waiting for us to come to Him. He's, you know, and when we come together in the morning like this, the reality is this, that we don't come and we don't welcome God the Holy Spirit into our space. We're coming and God is already waiting for us. You know, there are 2 hours from 9 o'clock to 10:30 or 11, depending on who's preaching, maybe 11:30 sometimes. You know, where I believe that God is waiting for us. He's waiting for us and He's got an appointment with us, and we heard that this morning. He's waiting for us, but he's waiting for us not to condemn us. He's waiting for us not to knock us over the head with the law and to tell us all the 110,000 different things we're doing wrong, even though he will illuminate to our hearts the areas where we need to change. But he's waiting for us so that he can do something specific. The Bible says, so that he can be gracious to us. I want to read that verse for you out of the Amplified, because it says it so beautifully. And therefore the Lord earnestly, you know, I was earnestly longing to get home. I couldn't wait to get home. There was a longing in my heart, and as I was flying down here, I began to catch a glimpse that if this is how a human heart feels, to be reconnected and reconciled to those that he loves, how much more does God feel that? That God is earnestly waiting. I want to say respectfully, I think God is almost homesick in a way. There's something in his heart that breaks for us, longs for us. Says he's earnestly waiting. By the way, if you want to memorize the Amplified, good luck. Right? It's it's not the easiest one to do, but it adds a lot of depth. It says he waits, and then they define waiting. It says expecting, looking, longing. I find that amazing. He's expecting, and he's looking, and he's longing for opportunities to be gracious towards us. God is expecting you. He's longing for you. He's looking for you. Why? Because he's wanting to be gracious towards you. And therefore, he lifts himself up, that he may have mercy on you and show loving kindness to you. Again, remember the context. This is not given and spoken to people who got a 10 out of 10 on their spiritual report card. This is not spoken to people who did everything right and whose hearts were with God. This is spoken to people who are actually quite far away from God. And in their worst moment, God comes and he says, I am longing for you. That gives me great comfort. That gives me great joy. That gives me great hope and anticipation to know that it's not so much me. When I come here this morning, I've got to worship God and I've got to prepare my heart to arrive here. It's not so much me drawing near to God as it is God that is pulling me closer to him. He has set the table. He has prepared his heart. It says God is expecting. He's looking. He's longing to be gracious towards me. But the verse goes on and he says that he's a God of justice. And then he says, blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied are all those who earnestly wait for God, who expect and look and long for him, for his victory, his favor, his love, his peace, his joy, and his matchless, unbroken companionship. What a beautiful description of relationship between God's heart. It's all-powerful, omnipotent, omniscient God who created the heavens and the earth and the human heart. That those who are looking for God, who are longing for him, who are yearning for him, there's this beautiful, this morning as we were praying, God was saying this floor to him is like a dance floor that he has set up for a beautiful dance between the king and his bride. The hearts that long for each other. Here's the reality. Here's the truth. Here's the constant. Here's the thing that is never changing. God's heart is always longing and looking and waiting for us. Here's the thing. Our hearts are not always longing and yearning and looking for him. Our hearts are sometimes longing and yearning and looking for other stuff. And the Lord has just been speaking to my heart even while we were overseas, and just as I was praying about this morning and about this congregation. And I feel God is wanting to ask us this question: what or who are our hearts waiting for? Right now, in your heart of hearts, what is your deepest longing? What is your deepest longing? What are you waiting for? Who are you waiting for? And I believe God is wanting to shift our hearts back to the place where He is our greatest longing. Where He's the thing that our hearts break for. His presence. Beyond even His promises. Because this verse says it so beautifully that we look and we expect and we long for Him. And when we look for Him, then His favor and His victory and His love and His peace and His joy and His presence, all of that comes with God. But I believe God is longing for a people who prioritize Him, waiting for Him. And I believe there are certain practical things that God just wants to drop into our spirit that I want to chat about. So to wait for God, first and foremost, means to long for Him. Matthew 5 or 6, Jesus speaks about this and he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Hunger and thirst speaks about that longing, doesn't it? I mean, if you think about the deepest longing on any human need, it is the physical need to be fed, to have water, to have food. And in the Bible says there that blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That the converse is true as well. And I think this is the thing, that our hunger and our thirst for God determines what we get from God. Our hunger and our thirst for Him determines what we get from Him. Lisa said it this morning, how often we can box God in, isn't it? This is church. This is the holy moment. But me being at the till, that's a different moment. But if our hearts long for God consistently and we yearn for Him, then He can invade any moment. Because our hearts are longing for Him and it's not limited just to a get-together like this. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled in. And this is what I realize, saints, I cannot stir that hunger for you. Nobody else can make you hungry. Nobody else can come to the place where we say, this is how much you must eat. This is how much you must worship God. This is how much time you must spend in the Word of God. We cannot regulate that for you. Your own hunger determines how much time you will spend in worship. Your own hunger determines how much time you will spend in the Word. And I realize that there's some of us here, and we have to say to God, God, if I'm honest, I'm not really that hungry for you. If I'm honest, my heart really isn't longing, really. The deepest part of my being, really longing for you. Because how do I know that? It manifests in my priorities. It manifests in my calendar. It physically manifests. If you are hungry and if you are thirsty, guess what? You are physically going to do something about it, aren't you? You're going to go somewhere, you're going to get some food. You're not just going to say, oh, I'm hungry. I'm really hungry. Yaku, in actual fact, I'm thirsty. I must drink some water right now. So I'm quite thirsty. Preaching does that to you. But I can speak about being thirsty and I can speak about being hungry. But if I don't do anything about it, I'm not really that hungry, am I? Or I'm someone, a sucker for punishment. I'm on a hunger strike. I want to punish myself. But you know what? If I fill that hunger with all these lovely chocolates that I got now in the UK, and I just keep on eating on this chocolate, and you know, that will sustain me for a while, won't it? Until eventually, oh, yes, I gave it to my wife. Okay, you guys are thinking, I gave it already, all right? Some of you looking with my very judgmental faces. You should not be eating those chocolates. Okay, I gave it away already, all right? She shares it with me. But if I choose to feed myself with those chocolates, it will put me on a high for a while. And then it will drop me hard. Because that's not really what my body needs. It needs more than just an artificial, temporary thing that satisfies. And here's the thing. The whole world has been designed to keep us so busy. We run after stuff and we fill that hunger and that thirst with other things. We fill it with fellowship, which is amazing, which we need. We fill it with a lot of other good things, but those good things will not sustain us. Those good things are not enough to bring us to the place where God is our portion. And I'm trusting the Holy Spirit that He will stir in us a hunger and a thirst for Him. Not for religion, not just for going through the motions, but a hunger and a thirst for Him. Because only the Holy Spirit can do that. And I believe some of us even need to ask Him, Holy Spirit, stir in me again a hunger and a thirst for You. Make me dissatisfied with the stuff that I use. You know, there's a place for reading good books and all of that. Watching wonderful, inspirational, motivational, godly DVDs. But that can never replace our own intimacy with God. Can never replace it. It's a place for coming together and worshiping like this. But this cannot sustain us if we don't worship at home. I've just begun this conversation with some of our parents and dads and husbands and guys. I'm going to continue this conversation, especially with us. But you know, we as dads, especially, we've got to demonstrate to our children, what do you do with your hunger and your thirst? What do you do with that hunger and that thirst that God has put in your heart that only He can satisfy? We've got to demonstrate that to our children at home by worshiping God in front of them, that they can see this is what worship is. That it's not just something we do in church. We need to demonstrate to our kids that when I have a choice and when I have free time, my heart gets pulled to the Word of God and not to hours in front of the television watching sports. When I've got time on my hands, my heart gets pulled towards spending quality time in worship of God and reflecting upon His Word and His goodness. We've got to demonstrate to our children, what do you do with the hunger and thirst? Because we are all hungry and thirsty. We are just not all using the Word of God and the presence of God to fill that. There's this verse in Proverbs that really challenged me. It's a verse that I heard many years ago. A guy called Si Rogers, he ministered on this the first time. It's in Proverbs 27, verse 7. And he spoke about the fact that he was well on his way to having a, I don't know what the right term is, a gender change from a male to a female biologically. He was busy undergoing all the hormonal treatment and all this stuff. And so his voice had begun to change already. He was beginning to pick up all the more feminine mannerisms and things. All of that was beginning to happen to him already. And just spoke about his brokenness and how he grew up just longing for father's affection and how other men came into his life and abused him and started to fill that gap. Until this one day in his hotel room, I think it was 2 or 3 days away from experiencing the physical operation where they had to do the physical changes. And he was drawn to this part in the Bible. Someone had given him a Bible. And the Holy Spirit just revealed and burned this verse into his heart. Gave him revelation. And Proverbs 27 verse 7 says, he who is saturated or he who is filled with sensual pleasures loathes and treads underfoot a honeycomb. But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. He who is saturated, he who is filled with sensual pleasures, loathes and treads underfoot a honeycomb. But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. If we fill our hearts with sensual things, with temporal things, put in there anything that you can think of. If we fill our hearts with those things, then when it gets to the honeycomb of God, when it gets to the honeycomb of God's presence, of God's portion, of God's word, when we have filled ourselves with so much of the other stuff, when we get to that moment where God is waiting for us and He's longing for us and He's looking for us and He's expecting to meet with us, you know what happens? Our hearts are already full of other stuff. And so then we miss whispers in God's presence because our hearts are filled. We miss tugging on our hearts when it's one to say to us, chat to someone. We miss this little glimpses of Him, little visits that He has for us. But the converse is true as well, that when our souls are starving, every bitter thing begins to taste sweet. Then when we don't fill our souls, when we don't fill our emotional tanks, when we don't fill our spiritual tanks with time with God and in His presence, then we become susceptible to a lot of bitter things. Then we become susceptible to a lot of things that the devil wants to put into our lives to satisfy us. And so I've come to realize that often I would fight against sin on a completely wrong level. The devil keeps me busy fighting on the on a superficial level. I'm fighting against this temptation, against this sin. But in actual fact, I'm susceptible to that because I've not been filling my heart with the presence of God. I've not been feeding on the Word of God. I've not been feeding on His presence. And so other things then become sweet to my soul. Why? Because my soul is starving. Because I'm not feeding it the Word of God. So how's your diet, saints? What are you using to feed your soul? And for me, the good test for me is in the moment when I have free time, where does my heart go? That's just the test that I use for myself. Where does my heart go? Because you know what happens? The more you feed an appetite, the more that appetite grows. The more you feed it with McDonald's, the more your body just wants McDonald's. I think up to a point. It says, I've had enough. But I want to ask some of us to go and just reevaluate your diet. Maybe for some of you, just have a look. What am I using to fill the hole inside of me? What am I using to satisfy the longing in me? Luke 2 verse 29 says, 32, there's a beautiful story in Scripture about two saints in the Bible, two prophets that were very old, and they were waiting for Jesus to be revealed. And they were living in the temple, and they were trusting God to bring a deliverer into Israel. And Israel was oppressed by the Romans, as you know very well. And they had a massive longing for physical deliverer to come. And Luke 2, verse 29, verse 32, we see this beautiful verse where Simeon is coming in. And he was at the right place at the right time. And he sees the baby Jesus. And then he says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. To wait on God is to do like Simeon and Anna did. They were waiting for Him. They were waiting for the presence of God. They were waiting for the promise of God to come. God, send a deliverer. That's what they've been praying for generations. Send us someone to deliver us from the bondage of the Romans. And here, into the temple walks Joseph and Mary with a teeny weeny little baby. They had to have their soul so in tune with God that they were able to see that this carpenter's boy, this couple that's coming from this distant place, from the wrong town, wrong part of town, these Galileans, this man is not a king. He's a simple carpenter. They don't look royalty. They didn't look amazing. They don't have destiny written all over them. They were so poor, they couldn't bring a lamb to sacrifice. They were most likely bring a little dove. That's what the poor people brought. But Simeon was able to see in this little baby and in these poor parents, he was able to see the salvation of the Lord. He was able, in other words, because he was waiting on God, he was able to recognize Jesus. He was able to recognize Jesus. So few people of Jesus' time had that ability to recognize Him. And this was before any miracle was done. The Holy Spirit whispered into his heart, this is the fulfillment of your promise. Nothing had changed. The Romans were still crucifying people. They were still punishing them. They were still being cruel to them. Nothing had changed on the surface, and yet everything had changed on the inside. Because he saw something. And I believe, saints of the Most High, that God is wanting to move us to a place where our greatest revelations and the greatest thing that brings us peace and that brings us stability in our hearts is not because physical circumstances are changing to our demands, but because we have seen the hand of God. Because we recognize when Jesus is walking into the room. Because we recognize when Jesus is walking into a business. When Jesus is walking into a nation. When Jesus is walking into a school. When Jesus is walking into a hospital room. We recognize Him. And we say, now my eyes have seen you. That can only happen if we look for Him. So I want to pray for some of us that God will come and He will open our eyes to see. Because I was astounded by just chatting to so many South Africans in London. And they're just complaining and they're saying, oh, this place is so bad and this place is shut to the gospel and there's nothing going on there. And then you speak to Carlos, the guy who's just gone over there. He's just having open doors everywhere. He's chatting to people about the Lord, and people are responding to him. And why is that? Because he's got different eyes. He's looking at all those pagan people around him through different eyes. And he's seeing Christ at work already. He's seeing the Lord Jesus Christ doing something in their lives already. And I want to encourage us that for us as a church here in the Helderberg, Christ is already at work. Christ is already at work. And I know for some of us, you've got massive breakthroughs you are trusting God for. And that is right. That is good because we are people of faith. But I want to encourage you to trust him, to open up your eyes, to see where Jesus is right now. Not where he's going to be one day when he's the King of Kings and he comes and he brings deliverance to Israel. But where is he right now? What is he doing right now? To see that moment, to join with him in that moment. So I believe with all of my heart that he's about to do incredible things in our midst. He's about to break through in amazing ways. So to wait for God is to long for him, to hunger and to thirst for him. Are you waiting on God? Are you thirsting for God? Are you hungry for him? To wait for God is to look for him. Are you looking for God or are you looking for the breakthrough more than what you are looking for him? To wait for God, lastly, is to expect him. In other words, to have an expectation. Do you expect that today when you come to church, you're going to meet with God? Parents, again, when we talk to our children, do we talk to our children about Sunday and what Sunday means? Do we create in them an expectation to say, we are coming up to the house of God, and we're going to meet with God, and we're going to worship God, and he's going to do awesome things in our midst? And this is how you prepare your heart. You give your heart to God and say, God, speak to me this morning, because I'm going to meet with the King of Kings. When we stop at the airport, it's a long flight. I went into the bathroom quickly and got some mouthwash and some gel on the hair. Because I wanted to look my best for my wife, for my kids. I prepared my heart to meet with them. Are we preparing our hearts to meet with God? Or are we content to come to a service or go into a day and meeting with God, not meeting with God, really isn't going to make any difference to us because we are so used to living without him. We've become so used to living without him that it doesn't even make a difference if he pitches or he doesn't. And the reality is he's always here. And he's always waiting and longing for us. Our hearts are not always waiting and longing. We're expecting him. So I want to stir your expectation this morning. You don't have to wonder, does God want to meet with me? You don't have to wonder, does God want to be gracious towards me? He says, I want to be gracious towards you. And he's expecting you. When you wake up in the morning, angels are getting ready to make sure you get here safely. When you are waking up in the morning and you say, I'm going to come to church, heaven gets excited. And there's a meeting that God arranges with you. The whoop, 9 o'clock. God the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they're excited. Oh, just what are we going to speak into Neil's heart? What are we going to speak into Renelle's heart? What are we going to speak into Sean's heart? How are we going to meet with him this morning? We are waiting for him. It's something that blows me away. That the God of all creation could be waiting to meet with me. Waiting to share his heart with me. Share his treasures with me. I believe that there's so many treasures that is stuck in heaven. Because God is still looking for a heart, a people, waiting for him, expecting him so that he can share those treasures with us. Moses had this beautiful expectation, Exodus 33:15. God comes to Moses and he says, Moses, I want you to lead my people up from here. I want you to leave this mountain. I want you to go into the promised land. And Moses comes and he says to God, God, if your presence doesn't go with us, do not bring us up from here. Moses' expectation was, God, my expectation is that I'm going to know you every day that you are with me. It's my expectation. And I don't want to go into life. I don't even want to pursue your promises outside of you. I used to look at Moses' life and God coming to him and saying to him, Moses, I'm sorry. Because of your sin, you can't enter into your disobedience. You can't enter into the promised land. And I thought, what a raw deal, eh? The guy was so faithful, man. And he just made one mistake. Now he can't enter into the promised land. And then I realized for Moses, that wasn't a deal breaker. Because Moses' heart was never on the promised land. Moses' heart was always on the one who called them. He said, God, I don't care about the promised land as long as you go with us. And so when God said to him, Moses, you're not going to go into the promised land, you are coming home. Guess what? Guess what? Moses was like, yeah, man. The longing of my heart. I'm coming home. And many years later, the beautiful thing about God, knowing, I believe, even the longing in his heart, God sent him into the promised land to go and chat with Jesus together with Elijah. Isn't that awesome? Physically put him down there. Go and have a chat with Jesus on the promised land. Amazing. But his heart is God. It's your presence. It's your presence. Saints, I know in my heart that God is about to pour out his spirit upon us. I know that he's about to bless us with a bountiful harvest. I know that he's about, and the Lord told this to me so clearly, he's about to stretch us. Okay, we've got to expand our tent pegs. We've got to expand our faith. We've got to expand our expectation of what God is wanting to do in our midst. And he's going to bless us with so much. My appeal to you, my commitment to you is that we're going to be a people that's going to keep the presence of God first and foremost in our lives. I know that sometimes we go a little bit long with the worship. I know sometimes we go a little bit long with the altar calling. But I want to say to you that that is priority for us. Because we want to create opportunities where people can meet with God. So I want to ask you to put your faith with mine. When we do the altar calls, I know some of you have got to get your kids. Some of you got to go home to the chicken. I know it's there. But I want to ask you that you would stand with us when we do the altar calls and when we pray and when we put out our faith for words of wisdom and knowledge, you would say, God, let today be a meeting place. Let today be a time of meeting with you. Let hearts be changed. Let hearts be transformed. Let us not miss the moment God has been waiting for. So let me finish off and read this verse for us again. And therefore the Lord, I'm going to speak this to you. Valdi, I want to speak this to you guys. Each and every one of us here. Jacques. Therefore the Lord earnestly waits, expecting, looking, and longing to be gracious to you. I would encourage you to take this verse and make it your own. Confess this over your life, because there's so much in our lives that want to lie to us that God isn't wanting to be gracious towards us. Some of you young people, you've got to take this word, you've got to wrap it around your heart at your school. Today, as I walk into my school, God is longing to be gracious towards me. He's longing to pour out his mercy and his kindness upon me. He's longing to meet with me in my maths class, in my biology class. He's waiting to meet with me. He's waiting to display his glory through me on the playground, on the sports field. Some of you, you've got to say, God, I'm not going to go into this day without you. And therefore, he lifts himself up that he may have mercy on you and show loving kindness to you. For the Lord is a God of justice, blessed, happy, fortunate to be envied. Are all of you guys who are earnestly waiting for him? I want to release this over you. You who expect and long for him, for his victory, his favor, his love, his peace, his joy, and his matchless, unbroken companionship. Let's stand. Oh, Father, we thank you this morning, God, that we can know that as we have come together, Lord, to enter into your presence this morning, God, that some of us, we have sort of stumbled into this room. Some of us, we are here because people asked us to come. Some of us remembered at the last minute, and some of us had a massive expectation. But thank you, God, that you are moving even this morning just in the spirit to take us beyond just what is habitual and what is man-made, God. And you are just shifting our expectation, shifting us, God, to see in the realm of the spirit that you are waiting for us, God. And you are waiting for us to envelop us, God, to be gracious towards us. Lord, to pour out your spirit upon us as you told Zerubbabel, do not despise the day of small beginnings. Do not despise what you are busy with right now, because I'm about to pour out my spirit upon you and you will have shouts of grace, grace in your heart. Lord, I thank you as your word came to us through the worship and through your people, that you delight in us, God, even beyond our actions, even beyond those things that are wanting to intimidate us. Father, I thank you for the power this morning to set us free from things that we have used to quench the thirst inside of us, God, in ways that just cause our souls to go through life famished. You showed me, Lord, that some of our spirits here are starving, our souls are starving. And we've grown so used to the numbness, we've grown so used to going weeks and months without feeling your touch, weeks and months without experiencing you. And we're not chasing after experiences, God. We're not running after signs and miracles. But God, we know that you are real. We know that you have created us body, soul, and spirit. And we know that you are waiting, God, to impact our lives. You are waiting to invade our lives. You are waiting and longing, expecting to meet with us. And maybe you are in this room this morning and you don't know that God waits for you. You don't know that He has set you up even this morning. Your entire life, He has been waiting for you to be gracious to you. He's been waiting for you. And the Bible says the only way we can enter into that grace of God, the only way we can prepare our hearts, the only condition that's required is that we accept what He has done for us. We can never be good enough for Him. We can never be deserving of Him. But He has taken that burden off us by giving us His Son, who bled on the cross and who died for us, so that we never, ever, ever, ever have to doubt whether we can come to Him just as we are. And maybe you have not experienced the loving forgiveness of God, forgiving you. The biggest waiting, the biggest meeting ever that you can have with God is where a sinner comes and experiences that mercy for the first time. And you're still trying to live your life in your own strength maybe this morning. And you have heard that God is a holy God, and you've heard that He has a standard that you need to live by, but you have not heard that He has done it all for you. You have not surrendered your heart to His grace. You have not said, "Jesus, I surrender. Take my life. Take my life. Forgive me for trying to live my life outside of you. Make me new." That is you this morning, and you have not come home. You've not had that meeting with the grace of God. And we want to pray for you. Each one of us in this room, we've had that meeting. It's the greatest meeting ever. It's where His mercy washes over you, makes you clean, washes away your sin, translates you out of a life of sin and confusion, and roots your feet in eternity. And you don't have the assurance that Eric has. And he knows that if God were to call him, he would go home. You don't know that. And this morning the Lord is saying to you that life is short. And we cannot leave this room with anyone doubting, anyone being in any sort of confusion, not knowing that if I were to die today or tomorrow or next week or next year, I will be with my daddy. I will be with the one who will wrap His everlasting arms around me. If you are not sure that you will spend eternity with God in heaven, I want you to raise your hand and be bold. Just raise your hand right where you're standing. I want to pray with you. This meeting place has been designed for you. Thank you, my brother. I see your hand. Thank you, my brother. I see your hand. You can drop it again. Is there anyone else? You're not sure. You are not sure this morning. This meeting has been designed and created for this moment, for you to be sure. For you to be sure. Is there anyone else? We would love to pray with you. Maybe you made a promise to God many, many times ago, many years ago, but you've drifted from Him and your heart has grown cold. And this morning when Charlene spoke about the fact that you don't have the ring on, you know that's you. You've lost that assurance of your salvation. You've lost that knowledge that you are His. And you need to come back to Him this morning as well. If that is you as well, I want you just to raise your hand because we want to pray with you. We would love to pray with you if that is you. So while our eyes are closed, I would like us just to pray for a minute. If you can pray in the Spirit, that you would just softly pray in the Spirit. Thank you, Father. This glorious moment. I'm going to ask you to be very bold. If you have raised your hand, that you would come to the front. Not to me, but just as a sign of saying, I'm walking. towards God. I'm walking towards the one who has his arms outstretched towards me. All of us in this room, we took those steps. They were the most glorious steps we could ever have taken. So if that is you and you raise your hand, don't be shy. Just come to the front. I know some of you, maybe you've prayed this prayer before, but you just want to commit your heart again into the hands of the Lord. Now I want to encourage you, the platform is open, that you would come and you would accept this invitation. Don't be shy. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, God. We praise you. Thank you, Father. That's when I ask believers, we can just pray. It's there where you're standing. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We're not going to put you under pressure. We know this is just the holy moment to God. And you can do this at home, but there are no guarantees. And we would just love to pray with you. So just there where you're standing, we're like all of us just to pray this prayer out loud. Join our hearts in faith with our brothers and with our sisters and say, Father God, I thank you this morning that I can accept your invitation to come just as I am. Thank you that you have made the way for me, the way of the cross. Thank you for your son's life. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me so that I can live. Thank you for being rejected so that I can be accepted. I give you my life, my past, my present, and my future. And I pray that you will become Lord of my life. I surrender my will, my emotions, my body, my relationships, my destiny into your hands. And I thank you that you make all things new. Father, thank you for welcoming me back. Thank you for making me your son. Thank you for making me your child. In Jesus' name. Father, I want to thank you, Lord God, just for the hearts in this room. Thank you, Lord, that we can stand and we can surrender, God, just through the knowledge of your love. Thank you, Father, that as we stand here, Lord God, that we can just declare once again commitment in our hearts. Lord, we come to you with repentance for where we have missed, Lord God, moments that you have been waiting for us. God, even just as a congregation, Father, I want to come. And Lord, we want to declare to you that our greatest longing, Father, is that we will not miss the times when you have arranged for us to meet with you, God. Lord, I pray that you would come and stir in us, Lord, a hunger and a thirst for you, God, where there's so much, Lord, in this town and in our lives that would want to fill our thirsts with the acclaim of man or with the need to win someone's approval, the need to prove ourselves or to be better or to work harder. God, we repent of those things. I believe that the Lord is just wanting to show you that there's something in your heart right now that you have used to quench the thirst and the longing of your soul. It longs for God, that the God-shaped thirst, the God-shaped hunger. For many of us, it's good things. For some of us as men, I believe, guys, that I believe with all of my heart, the Lord has declared a season of holiness for us. That he's waiting for us to be gracious towards us. And there's some of us that in our shame, because we're struggling with our sexuality, and some of us are struggling even in this room with same-sex attractions. Some of us are struggling with pornography. Some of us are struggling just with fantasies and things that are tearing our marriages apart. And we have lost our hunger and our thirst for God and His holiness and His presence because we're so ashamed. We don't even want to go there, but I believe God is saying to you that He's waiting for you. He hasn't moved on without you. He's waiting for you to be gracious to you. He's longing for you. And His heart is longing for you. And Jesus is, like He did for Jerusalem, weeping over some of our hearts here, over some of us, our families here, men, husbands, dads. We are leading our families further and further away from satisfying that hunger and that thirst in God. And He's calling us as men to acknowledge our hunger. Stop being so proud and arrogant. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, humble yourself before God. Humble yourself before God. It's what your wife needs, it's what your kids need. To see a man bowing his knees before God, crying out to God in desperation, crying out to God for intervention, crying out to God for His presence. Believe with all of my heart that the Lord is calling us men to a standard. And we will be the first to meet with Him. And we will pave the way. I just see like this group of warriors just breaking through this, these enemy lines, fighting their way through it, creating a safe place, dry land for their families to walk through. You've got cries in your house, cries of your kids, cries of your wife that are going unanswered because you are not connecting them to the life source. And God says that He's not condemning you. He knows you can't do it. He's waiting for you to be merciful to you, to be gracious towards you, to pour out His grace upon you. Weary soldier, come to Him. I believe the Lord is calling us as men. Some of us, we need to come. We need to come and humble our hearts before God here at the front. You've got to give your pride a killer blow. You've got to bow your knee before the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. Because He's about to do sovereign, mighty things, even in your family and through your kids. He's about to move mightily on your behalf. Come and meet with Him. So that's just a special invitation to us as men. To come right now as the song would just be playing. But just His love for us. We would come and we acknowledge that some of us, we just need to acknowledge our need for God's love. Just come. And I believe just like showers are going to wash over you. Bondages are going to fall off you. For some of us, He's creating a deep longing for true, genuine covenant friendships. He's wanting to break the power of isolation and loneliness over our lives. We're fighting our demons by ourselves and fighting alone. Just in this week, I had a brother and I WhatsApped him and I said, "You've got to pray for me, my friend. You've got to pray for me." And I knew that he was praying for me. And I could feel it in the atmosphere. The times that we are going into, we cannot make it on our own. Deep darkness is descending upon this nation. If you haven't noticed, we cannot make it on our own. God wants to raise up a standard, men of godly friendships. For men who will pray for their wives, will pray for each other, will say to one another, "I will go into the fire with you." He wants to raise up a generation for our young men. There are young men in this room, and God is wanting to call you. And He is calling you to lay down your life for the kingdom, to lay down your life for a life of purpose. And He's going to use you like He used Jeremiah, like He used Joseph and Daniel. And you've got the call of God upon your life. Don't allow people to say to you who you are and who you're not. God wants to come and He wants to define you. So Father, thank You we can come and just surrender to Your love. God might have spoken to you in many other ways and you just want to respond to Him. I want to encourage you to come to the front as well. We're going to just worship Him this morning. You don't need my touch. Just let's lift up our voices. Some of you have got a hunger inside of you that the Holy Spirit has put in you, but you've just got to allow the Holy Spirit to stir it. Pray in your heavenly language. It's what your spirit needs to break through. It's what your soul needs, even though he doesn't understand. Some of you are struggling with offenses, and God is going to set you free. Oh Oh God, Lord, I thank you for physical healing in this room, Lord. In Jesus' name, I thank you for emotional healing in this room right now by the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Spirit of God, as we humble ourselves before you, as we cry out to you, God, we thank you that you're moving in our midst. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, there's someone here suffering from a cancer, believes in the reproductive systems, and God is wanting to touch you right now and heal you. There's someone in your family who's struggling with cancer. God is just wanting to touch you right now. You're experiencing like a pain down your right bottom, right inside of your back, and God is wanting to just touch you as you would stand proxy right now in Jesus' name. God, we thank you. Let's just take a few minutes and let's just cry out to God. Let's just cry out to Him. Lord, we bless you. Come on, we bless you, Lord. We worship you. We worship you. Hallelujah, God. I'm going to pray a prayer of blessing over us. Some of us who need to go. I'm going to urge us, if we need to go, we go quietly. If you don't have to go, stay and linger. If you need to fetch your kids, then you can do that. But if you can stay, we'll just allow the song and just our worship. Let's just have our worship rise up to God. How He loves us.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.